Go by. Okay, we will call the Board of Works and Safety meeting to order. It's 5 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday, October 10th, 2023. Roll call, please.
Daniel.
Here.
Penrod.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting. I sent, a change or two to Rosie, which was, I think my name was misspelled under the Childers discussion, and then our department head reports cops gear was one word. Besides that, was there anything else you found?
No.
Okay. I'll make a motion. We approve the Board of Works minutes from September 26th as presented. I'm sorry, with the noted changes.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up are street closings. First up is Ladies Night Out. Nikki. Hello.
Hey.
Name and organization.
I am Nikki Keister with Columbia City Connect. And we would like to request some parking spots in front of the Clugston, as well as in front of Bruja, to have some mobile vendors sell their things for Ladies Night Out, which is October 20th.
So for both of those areas, Nikki, is the idea that those mobile vendors will be selling to the curbside?
Yes.
Okay. And then I know that we kind of had some internal discussion here between Rosie and I, and I don't know if Gary may or may not have been a part of that as well, but regarding the two spots at Bruja there, because it's on a state highway, but it's kind of set back from the state highway. I don't know if we approved spots in front of Bruja before.
They have been there before.
Okay.
But it was not, I don't know. Well, maybe it was late.
Okay. Has this happened before? I mean, have we had vendors there before, mobile vendors?
Never with me. I was only here last year.
Yeah.
But yes, in the past, that exact trailer, the Thunderbird has set up in front of Bruja.
In front of Bruja, okay. So there's a little bit of precedent there. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So it's just a standalone trailer, ours is pulled in, and you've got two vehicles, or what?
They pull it in, they unhook it, and then drive the trailer, so the car away, so it's just the trailer.
Yeah.
And nothing would be on the street side, like the mayor said, just on the sidewalk.
Yeah, just on the sidewalk side.
Right.
So is there going to be other businesses inside the Bruja too?
Participating, yes.
But they don't want to go inside anything.
Most
of the businesses are inside a business, but they don't want to go inside.
Sure. Yes, they just want to. They have like a little Airstream trailer that they have, and you walk in, and it's like a clothing boutique, so you can look through it, and it's all set up.
Any other questions from the Board of Works?
No.
Okay.
The other thing is, in order for them to do that, they have to file for a mobile non-food truck permit.
Okay.
It's $25 per day. And there are some restrictions, but they have to file for one of these.
Okay.
And I think that's part of the presentation.
Yes. So I just received that form yesterday from the clerk's office, and I haven't received it back from the vendors. But we were requesting that $25 fee be waived since they're participating in a larger event. While our booths are not outside on the streets like they are for First Fridays, we don't require it during First Fridays, so we were hoping that fee would be waived for both of those vendors.
I think the position of the board, at least in the past, has been that if there are mobile vendors that are a part of a larger organizational event, that we have in the past waived those, and really the point of the mobile non-food and food vendor truck fee permit, whatever, is explicitly for the ones that may just pull up and want some spot, just purely for the sake of wanting to have their spot, if you will, not during an event, but just on a normal day or a normal evening and stuff. So I don't know, Board, if you're good with that or you have any questions, but to me, since it's a part of a bigger event, I don't have a problem with that. So.
Yeah. Is that a blanket insurance coverage by all vendors? Or, I mean, I'm assuming, is there insurance required?
There is. Right. On the permit. And there is some restrictions, but if they have one that they have, it says here that mobile vendors shall be located at least 20 feet from all posted crosswalks, driveways, alleyways, right-of-ways, or two or more intersection streets. And then they have to, cannot be located any closer than 15 feet of any fire hydrant.
So this would be right next to an alleyway. Does it say alley, or did it say a cross street? Crosswalks, driveways. It does say alleyway, so we'd have to waive that requirement, unless we would waive the actual permit in and of itself because it's a part of the larger event, right? Theoretically. If we're putting the mobile vendor in as a part of the event, not as a separate permit.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Would they actually take the two places if they're moving their car?
Yeah, it's a yes. Are we talking about the one in front of Bruja?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, then yes.
Because there's an alley there. So.
Yeah. And actually, I mean, the same would generally be true for the Cluxton one as well because of the alleyway.
Wasn't there a discussion last time in reference to mobility with the unit? Just in case there was a fire or emergency, there was a way to get out of the way? Wasn't that the alley?
At some point, there was a conversation about that, yes, Walt. I don't exactly remember the tenets of it, but I think the idea was is that if, you know, God forbid something happens with the Cluxton or Bruja, and you have a big trailer there that can't be moved very easily, then there is a bit of a fire risk that come with that as well. So I guess the question would be is if those trailers can be moved at least fairly easily, meaning
pushed out of the way.
Pushed out, or a car can back up to get it on a hitch and get it out of the way, you know, within, let's say, 5 to 10 minutes max kind of thing.
Sure.
But I don't know. I'm just saying that may be something to consider. Just from a safety perspective. The nice thing, maybe the other side of that is, the nice thing is because it is next to an alley, there's going to be a lot more area. It's not going to be, you know, I'll use Dan Weigold's phrase, belly butts, mm-hmm. if you will, but, you know, it's not going to be stacked up in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel better about the fact that since the alleyway's there, we can
be a little more flexible.
We can be a lot more flexible.
Yeah, yes. I'm good.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we approve the Ladies' Night Out event, if you will, the parking spaces in front of the Cluxton and the Bruja, and waive the permit requirements and fees.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All in favor, for the usual sign. It is unanimous.
Okay. Thanks.
Next up is the 11th annual Whitley County Lighted Christmas Parade. Jennifer?
Hello.
Hello. Name and organization, please.
Jennifer Zartman Romano and the Lighted Christmas Parade and Santa's House.
Okay.
We are once again, for the 11th annual year, doing the Christmas Parade on Friday the 24th of November. That's always held on the Friday after Thanksgiving. This year, our paperwork we put through with the 24th and the 25th just in case we need it for a rain date. I don't know how that's been handled in the past. I don't think I've put it on there, but we kind of plan towards that. Basically, most of it's the same this year, except that we have decided to close Van Buren between Line Street and Chauncey Street to parking during the parade because it's gotten very, very congested in that area. It's a good problem that we have a lot of people coming out for the parade, but last year it got a little bit scary with kids and families moving closer and closer to the middle and it being dark. And so I'm really excited that Gary's on board with shutting down the parking in that area. So
that makes a lot of sense to me. Thoughts on the board?
No. Good planning.
Make a motion, we approve the street closing permit request for the 11th annual Whitley County Lighted Christmas Parade as presented.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All in favor, show the usual sign. It is unanimous.
All right, thank you.
Next up is the parking ticket appeal. Come on up, sir.
Yep.
Need your name, address, and what you are appealing.
Yes, my name is Arthur Knoll. Address is 1120 North State Road 109. And I'm appealing a parking violation.
Okay. And on what grounds are you appealing?
So the biggest thing was I had it says violations, no parking at 289 South Chauncey Street. That's not where I was located. I was at the center for the county youth right across the street, which is Market. So I was very confused on the reason why I got a ticket in the first place. So that's my biggest reason why I wanted to appeal it.
Is that the location was incorrectly put down?
That would, yes. Okay. Because I was located at the parking for the center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And the center's address is what, did you say?
It's 315 Market Street.
West Market, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else that you'd like the Board of Works to know?
I think the biggest thing is, and I know I had got a call from police to explain more about why they gave me a ticket, and they said I was parked in the wrong direction and that sort of thing. And with the violation saying no parking, I didn't see any signs around there that says no parking at all, because I was under the assumption that that is a public place to park. I parked out there many years. Church plays basketball there almost every Sunday night. So yeah. No parking signs over there. I didn't see any sort of directions as to, like, oh, you got to park in a specific direction. Like, I didn't see anything out there about that. So, yeah, I'd say that's probably really the only information needed to know as far as why I wanted to appeal.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say is your appeal is both because of the wrong address, but also because the actual ticket says the 71.06-violations-no-parking.
That's correct.
Any questions of the Board of Works? Obviously, we'll hear from the officer next, but any questions of Mr. Knoll?
Hear from the board, from the officer first.
What?
Can we hear from
the officer? Yeah. I just didn't know while Mr. Knoll was up here if you had any questions besides what I've asked.
No.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Sergeant, come on up.
Hello.
Name, please?
Zachary Crabtree.
Okay. And tell us about the ticket.
I observed Mr. Knoll's vehicle parked. It was in front of the center, but it was on Chauncey Street, just south of Market Street. It was facing northbound along the west curb, so it should have been facing southbound, because you have to have your right side tires up against the curb. The clerical errors, or the system that we use to write the tickets, is called ECWS. It's a state program. And when you put the location in, one of your options for locations is a map comes up, and you click on the map about where the car is, and it kind of auto-generates a location that is approximately where the car is. So that's why it says the 289 or 298 South Chauncey. I didn't write that in there. That's just where the map put in. And then the no parking, obviously it's the correct code or the correct ordinance, but the no parking verbiage is just a catch-all for that, for all of our parking
for 71
citations. Yes, correct.
So when in the system, just so I have a good understanding, when you put in the violation and you type in the actual code citation, 71.06 or something to that effect, then that's what pops up. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. It only gives you one option, and it just says no parking.
And that's because that's what the...
That's correct.
Okay.
So even though he was at the address on... What is this?
South Chauncey or West Market.
He was on the address at Market Street. His car was on Chauncey Street.
That's correct. At the time as well, I didn't know where he was. He could have just, he was parked in a parking spot on Chauncey Street, so.
Okay. So, I mean, where he's going really doesn't make any difference. It's where the car is.
That's correct.
That makes a difference. And so the no parking thing covers all kinds of parking, like parking the wrong way and all that?
Yes. We have, like I said, just one selection for all of our city parking violations.
I'm looking at 7106 right now in our code of ordinances, just so you're aware. Is that the ordinance? Okay. I was going to say, it does say that, on the roadway side of a vehicle stopped or parked on the edge or curved street, there's something about parallel parking there, which probably don't. Yeah. 71.06 section D1. Except to provide in Division 2 below and except where ankle parking is permitted by local ordinance or street for streets under local control and by order of the City of Columbia City on streets and highways in the City of Columbia City system, a vehicle stopped or parked upon a roadway where there is an adjacent curb must be stopped or parked with the right-hand wheels of the vehicle parallel with and within 12 inches of the right-hand curb. And obviously the way in which the Mr. Knoll was parked was with the left wheels against the curb instead of the right wheels.
That's correct.
Okay. Other questions from the Board of Works?
Is this something that you just normally do, or just happened to be that particular night you see the parking spot?
You're asking Mr. Knoll?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Oh, yes. That's a spot I've parked in for many years, and I've parked both ways before. Like, I've swung around the front and parked facing that way. I've parked the other way facing the way I was in this case. I've done it many times.
Okay. Are there any other questions?
Sorry.
Nope.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. So we've heard from both parties. Chief, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I'd like to say it's more of a safety concern. Obviously, when he parks the wrong direction on the road, he has to cross left to center to get that direction. So getting out of there is also, you know, a safety concern, even going back across to go the right direction that he's facing. So I think that's a concern. And at the time of the citation, the parking violation citation, his plates were expired. Officer Sergeant Crabtree didn't tow his car or anything, which he could have towed his car for expired plates on a roadway. Didn't issue him a citation for expired plates, which I think is like a $171 ticket. So I was just, you know, I did call Mr. Nolan, explain a few of these things and explain the ordinance to him, and he still continued to want to contest it. So I want that to be known.
I don't think that the fact that it's happened before that you've parked both ways or whatever, I don't think that's pertinent, because you could speed on 69 100 times and get by with it, but get stopped once. You know, sure. Like you could go 100 miles an hour and you get stopped at 180, you know. So I don't think that's really pertinent that you've done it before and not gotten a ticket. Mm-hmm. You were lucky.
I think for me, I appreciate, Mr. Knoll, I appreciate you coming to the board. I appreciate what you're saying here. I do, obviously, I recognize that you may have been inside of the center on that. Obviously, though, I think because of the way in which the system is, which it is a statewide system, so we're kind of at the mercy of the statewide system.
Mm-hmm.
I'm I think because of where the location is and the fact that it is covered under our ordinance 71.06, even if it's not the no parking, it is a part of that overall ordinance. So I would make a motion that we uphold the uphold the ticket.
I'll second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor for the usual sign? It's unanimous. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you, Sergeant. Appreciate it. Okay. Next up is a encroachment at 216 South Eagle Glen Trail. Come on up. Name and address, please. Although I just said it, but name and address, please.
Chad Nicodemus, 216 South Eagle Glen Trail.
Okay, and tell us what you want to do.
In-ground pool. Want to gain easement. There's a 30-foot easement running through the back of our center of our yard.
Okay. And this is on Eagle Glen Trail there.
Yes.
And so all that grass area in the back there, I'm assuming you...
His yard.
Where are you, unless I... Did I miss it?
Yeah, you should have.
Can I see the packet? Because it didn't print well. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably why I missed it, because it looks... It's on oh, yeah, that doesn't look great.
Hmm?
It doesn't
look like.
It oh,
yeah. It came out like this.
Well, that's,
so that's it.
Blame that on Brent Bachon.
No, okay, we'll blame it on Brent. That's easy to do.
That was from his email, so.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so will you come up, please? And
I actually have a picture.
Oh,
of
you have a bit better picture than this, hopefully.
I understand. I might be able to pull it up on my email.
Well, that's just the aerial. It doesn't show where the pool or anything like that.
Okay.
So is your property...
There we go. Thank you, sir.
Is your property line the blue?
Yeah. So, oops.
Is your property line the blue? Oops.
So...
It goes all the way back to the cart path and part in the woods.
Okay.
So basically the pool would be on this side of the line.
Deck. House. Is that down the front? Okay, so it's... Oh, gotcha. Okay, yeah. So it's going to be... It'll end up being kind of...
It'll be over here. It'll be outside. Yes, the deck's over here.
And so where's the easement?
Well, it's this... I think that green line is a sewer line, right?
That's a sewer line, so that's why he said we had to be 10 foot out, so we want 10 foot out.
Okay.
We have to go out
here. So it'll be 10 foot out from that green line?
Yes.
Yeah. Gotcha. Is that sewer line? Okay.
10 foot, Pat, where I need to find where this line's at and go 10 foot that way. You want to say to get out from it, get away. I just want to know where the pipe's at. The one end going to be 4 foot and then there is...
No. I got you.
So I need to know where that's at to say where you
think that's there. So my only concern with the plan, my only concern is that if for some reason we got to dig up the sewer line, we're going to be traipsing across the stuff that you, because I think you have some stuff in that. Do you have anything in that 10 foot or whatever that is?
There's landscaping, but I think that's on this side of that.
It's on that side.
The only thing I think is in line is the steps. Because
gotcha.
Her dad built the steps 16 years ago. I don't know if it was recognized at that time or whatever.
Yeah, that does not surprise me. So
my question was when I saw it.
Yeah.
We always have the caveat that, well, if we got to tear it down to get to...
Right, exactly. Well, that's why I think if
I would move it far enough out to where if you would have to come through,
we should be able to get in the middle of it. And that's what I was going to say is my biggest concern is that if for some reason we have to dig it up, then, you know, if there's any, I don't want to destroy anything. Obviously, we wouldn't destroy the pool because it would be far enough back.
Right.
The biggest concern is making sure that we can get a loader or something in there. Probably would be a loader, but a backhoe or what? An excavator. To make sure we can get the excavator through there. So, but again, I mean, I guess the question for you, Kelly, would be is how much, I mean, is 10 foot enough to get our people and our machines through there?
15 would probably be better.
Is that, I mean, and I don't know how much the setback is if you do 15 back from there. I'm assuming you're still in decent shape compared to the back of your property there, but.
Oh, right.
So.
I'm not an excavator, but the pool being there, if there was an issue, can you dig around the pool? and reroute the drain or the line that we're concerned with? Or do you have
that's a sewer line that's yeah, run down there.
Oh, so yeah, got it. Okay.
It's a public sewer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think.
But how deep? Do you know how deep the sewer line is?
We'd have to look at that, pop the lid and look at it. Give us some idea of
right.
the direction it's.
Because they're going to come in and they're going to put walls. It's going to be a soft wall, so it's not going to be okay. – the concrete would just be on the top around the pool.
Okay. So I guess what I'm wondering is I mean, is there any potential, if you will, or any allowance, if you will, for us to maybe even split the difference and say go 12-foot and just to give us a little extra clearance?
Well, I could probably go the 15.
Oh,
if he
that
wants
would be
the 15.
Okay. Okay.
We can measure out. We can find where that line's at
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah.
Then we can go 15 foot past that.
If you're cool with that, that
I'm fine. I just.
Yeah. No, I'm totally fine with that. I don't
yeah.
know.
Right.
Yes. Kelly, you feel comfortable with that 15
yeah,
foot?
Because I mean,
you could actually, like where the landscaping's at, if you had to bring an excavator and you go around the opposite side of the house and come in that way, mm-hmm. next to the deck versus going by the landscape. That'd give you a full platform if you got to do something. Mm-hmm. But what's
that's
the odds of something you got to tear up?
I mean, it's plastic, 8-inch plastic.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully nothing ever happens
yeah.
to it. But
yeah.
who knows?
It's yeah. been 20 years now, so well, who knows?
Exactly.
Yeah. So
I'm
Kelly's good with 15. You're good with 15. I'm good with 15. Nicole, you good?
I'm good.
Okay. So I'll make a motion that we approve the encroachment agreement for the Nicodemus family at 216 South Eagle Glen Trail with the caveat of a 15-foot setback from the sewer line.
I'll second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay.
Thank you.
So next step is, Rosie?
Okay, I will get this back to
back to Brent
tomorrow.
Okay.
And let him know when I send it that you have to have 15.
Yeah, for Angie, you have to go and sign. Yeah. Angie would have to go and sign.
Yes.
Because of deed, yep.
Yeah. Sounds good.
All
thank
good.
You.
All right, thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate it. Have a good rest of the day.
Cool, yep, next year.
Next up is bills.
I'll make a motion to pay all accounts payable in the amount of $732,564.23. From the allowance of accounts payable vouchers for checks.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? Walt did second that one. All those in favor with the usual sign? It is unanimous.
I'll make a motion to pay all accounts payable in the amount of $565,390.14 from the allowance of accounts payable vouchers for EFT payments.
Second. Motion seconded?
Yes.
Yes, you want to second it? You want to second it? Okay. Walt seconded. Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous.
I'll make a motion to pay all pay types except overtime in the amount of $10,725 for police and fire fourth quarter clothing allowance from the pay file ending 10-3-2023.
Second.
Yeah.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous.
I'll make a motion to pay all pay types except overtime in the amount of $1,002 for two employees, HSA city share for the pay file ending 9/23/2023. Do you want the employees in this?
No, I don't think we need that, do we?
Okay.
Second. Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous.
And I'll make a motion to pay all pay types except overtime in the amount of $254,218.65 plus overtime in the amount of $4,408.97
for the
pay
file. I'm sorry, I don't have that number.
I'm not sure.
Should I do it one?
What was
no.
the amount?
First one was 254,000.
This one that you were just reading?
Yeah, that's what she was. Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't have that document. I'm trying to find out where.
I'll start over. We'll find it.
Okay, well, I was going to say the number I have is 258,627,62, but I don't have any.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm with you now. I'm sorry. I always forget about that.
Yeah.
I apologize, Nicole. Please restart.
That's okay. I'm
sorry.
I'm sorry. I'll make a motion to pay all pay types except overtime in the amount of $254,218.65 plus overtime in the amount of $4,408.97 for the pay file ending September 22nd, 2023.
I'll make a motion to pay.
You have a second.
Oh, I get a second?
Yeah, you can second.
Okay,
motion, second, further discussion? All those in favor show with the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay, department head reports. Chip.
I'm sorry, I have nothing to report right now.
Okay. Questions of Chip? Thank you. Sean.
So our 69 kV conversion we've been talking about for 30 years has begun. They have de-energized one of the feeds we have from our AEP feed, so that one's being rebuilt to 69 kV standard. Coming probably the week of October 26th, we're going to require an entire system outage. We cannot tie the new feed to the old feed, so it's going to be a 5 or 10 second outage for the entire city at some point. I'm going to coordinate that with our local businesses and manufacturers to make sure we do that at the most convenient time for them. Still working up on Morris's Road to get the overhead power lines buried. I've got a lot of support from the neighbors in that area. They've been real cooperative and helpful in that process, and I appreciate that. I was able to attend the Utility Expo 2 weeks ago in Louisville, Kentucky. We were able to demo all the bucket trucks that we're considering purchasing, all in one place, all in one day, which was amazing. So, great show. I had learned a lot there. Just a couple other things we're working on. Working with a group that's considering, or it's going to offer us a quote to do line clearing and vegetation control for our rural lines. We've really fallen behind on that, being short staff and with all the major projects we have coming up. So, hopefully within the next month or so, I'll be bringing you guys a quote to see if we can have them come in and kind of knock that out for us. Other than that, you know, we've got a lot of new businesses coming to town. I mean, a lot. We've met with fitness clubs, dentist office, credit unions. We have all sorts of different kinds of businesses. We've got a homeless shelter that's looking to build. I mean, they're contacting, wanting information on electric service and things like that. And, you know, we're just going to keep getting more and more busy. So, we're just trying to keep up right now. So, but it's a good thing. I mean, our city's growing. We're doing good things. So, that's all I have.
Question of Sean? I do have a question, Sean. Is there any, I mean, I don't want to get too out of bounds here, but I know there was some challenges with trimming and things like that for the tree board as well. Is there an opportunity, Chip, in some way, shape, or form to partner with that same company or something? I'm merely asking a question. So.
I don't know. I feel like they're more aggressive than what we,
gotcha,
the tree board would want.
So they know all the rules and regulations that are allowed for tree clearing for utility clearance.
Yep.
And they do a great job of ensuring we don't have to go back in the next 5 to 10 years.
Okay. So you're saying maybe residents who only want a little bit of pruning on their trees, this would be a good
fit.
It's
worth a conversation. I've gotten to know this gentleman real well. They're out of Bourbon, so I'm sure Mike Schiller knows them. So I can say something to them to see if they're interested. Maybe wake Mike up. So yeah, I would definitely say something to them though, and I'll get with Jeff and see if they're interested.
Thank you. Yuri.
All right. First Fridays are done for the year. They had their last one this last Friday. I think overall for the year we had very little issues, so I think that went well. Gina and Dispatch both attended some of those events, so I think that was good for us to get a little bit of recognition out there. Gina went to training and instructing on records and advanced records in Chicago. That went well this past week as well. We replaced our 30-plus-year-old shotguns with new-to-us Benelli shotguns and had good positive feedback. So.
And to be clear, I think that was purchased locally, was it not?
Yes. gearing up for Halloween on the 28th of this month in Veterans Marathon. And dispatch is running smooth and seems quiet.
Questions to Gary?
Nope.
Thank you. Kelly?
We finished up our limb pickup last week. That's the last one for the year, hopefully. Probably end up having to go around sometime in November and get some more. Leaf pickup is going to start October 23rd. We'll start going around and get both machines out probably and start that process or that program. Finished our concrete work up out at Eagle Glen. Niblock paved Grove Park. That back part of that loop was getting pretty rough, and we scraped up some dollars to do a little paving, so took care of that. Trying to get the sweeper back out on the road. We had some issues with the webbing on it, and a couple of sprockets were cracked and started to fall apart, so trying to get that on the road. Been working on our asset management plan that we have to get approved through Purdue for our street asset management, and that has to be approved and have a basically a permit so we can file for community crossings in the future. So we've been working on that with our draftsman GIS guy, trying to get that going. Took some guys to Indiana Street Commissioners meeting a couple weeks ago. Had some good information there, and we got a stop, couple stop, flashing stop lights that go on top of the stop sign at Jefferson Street and Deer Path. Some residents were concerned in that area and talked to the mayor about it and thought this might be a good solution. So,
question
with
Kelly. Kelly? Matt?
The guys lowered the basketball goal over Patriotic by 6 inches. It was installed 6 inches too high. So now it's...
I wondered why I couldn't dunk on it.
Yeah. And I was working with Spears. They're our group for the pool that that helped build the pool, to put together a certified pool operator class. Hopefully that'll be something that comes to fruition. We can have it either in the new conference room, or we'll have it over in the pavilion area. But that'll be able to save some money that we don't have to spend hotel and all that. Planning on sending Evans Earball to that. That way there's going to be able to be three people that can work inside the pump room, pump house, and pool. Andrea and Melinda going full steam ahead for mother son that will be in the next week. And this morning, the advanced 2D art class from the high school came out, and they started their painting projects down by the splash pad on the concrete balls. So, and that's it.
Questions of Matt? Thank you. Mike?
We finished the painting of the hydrants in Deer Chase. We're going to move on down the road a little bit. Got the pipe in for South Chauncey Street. We got six pieces to go yet. And we also got the pipe for Eagle Park.
And as a reminder, the South Chauncey Street is to deal with a sewer, kind of a sewer connection snow kind of thing there that should clear up that issue at what, Chauncey and Ellsworth or Spencer?
Ellsworth. Chauncey and Ellsworth. Ellsworth and Chauncey. But we're going down there, but it was designed, we're actually putting in a 30-inch
storm
tile,
yeah,
because it's going to eventually go further north, and I think they designed it to go all the way to the post office.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yes.
Okay, cool. That's great. So hopefully when we do our downtown revitalization project, we now have a stormwater line, once they get that done, that we can hook everything to there. So it's great. Questions of Mike?
No.
Thank you. Mike?
A couple weeks ago, we had one of our firefighters got put in reverse instead of forward. during a storm event, and so it crashed into the scum beach of the tank and broke some braces, bent some arms, stuff like that. So we contacted the company, and they still have our file from 88 and 89 when they were put in. So we're working on getting a quote for replacement parts on that because they're still available. SCADA project I've been working on, we spread over the last, started last year, spread out over the next 2 years or so. Hope to have the panels in and up and functional by the end of November for this year as part of the project. And finally received all the parts that we ordered in January for our slushy recirculation pumps, which will be rebuilt in-house. So we started on those. And then just the day-to-day.
Question to Mike. Thank you, Mike. You want to introduce yourself? Name, grade, I guess academy, and youth council stuff.
My name is Olina Hauser. I'm a senior at Youth Academy. I'm the secretary of Youth Council, and our last meeting was September 27th, I think. We started off just going over a meeting up here, going over some city updates. We talked about some of the new businesses in downtown Columbia City, like how the Kitchen & Co. is opening in the Van Buren Flats. And I think we talked about the Junction Cafe is going to go there, too. And then we went to Morse's Park to trim those bike trails. And we had lunch at the square and then came back here to go over some township government stuff.
Questions of the link? Thank you. Rosie?
Nothing.
I do have something from Tom. As you may know, one of our firefighters has submitted his letter of resignation and retirement, but he is, I believe he's planning to be done by the end of the year, so Tom has asked to hire a replacement for that firefighter. I'm okay with it, but I wanted to get your approval, so.
I'm okay.
Okay.
Yep. Takes a while to get that.
Yes.
Process.
Yes. And it's October, so hopefully we can, thankfully because of what we did the last time, because we had two really good candidates that were both laterals, and because we knew a different firefighter was planning to retire in the near future, getting two on, there's not a ton of, challenge there, but having a full schedule obviously is always important. So I'm sure Tom will be appreciative of that. He said 102 is going to Ohio for repairs on the 16th. Chris and Tom will hit the road at 4 a.m. They have it there by 8 a.m., so good luck. They're leaving it there until the repairs are complete. Tom is on vacation until the 16th. And this month is jam-packed, he said, with fire prevention because of fire prevention. Today I was in Plainfield for AIM had a community crossings workshop, and because I'm on the first task force on behalf of cities and towns, I was able to kind of give them an update of where we're at. We've had one meeting. I think I may have talked about it last time, so I won't bore you with all those details, but it was 3 hours of data. That's all it was, 3 hours of information. So it was really interesting, but I think we're on a long road, not a short road on this one. What I think was most surprising to me was that gas fuel consumption, according to most experts, are showing that fuel consumption will peak in 2025. That's a problem when our road system is completely, our road infrastructure funding system is completely set up, well, not completely, but almost completely set up on gas taxes. So as gas consumption goes down, that creates less funding for cities, towns, counties, and the state, by the way. So there's a lot of good conversation about what does the future look like, especially with electric vehicles, with CAFE standards continuing to go up, so gas consumption goes down, things like that. So a lot, not to mention prices for everything going up too. So a lot of good conversation there. Couple of things just for your information. We do have a CIP committee meeting, as you both know, after council tonight. Let's see. We are in the middle of insurance
We're getting close to having our insurance rates potentially for this coming year, or insurance renewal, let's say it that way. We did, Rosie, Beth, and I had a meeting yesterday as kind of a preliminary. We're still waiting for a couple of quotes to come in, but we're getting close to that. And a lot of things happening. As you are well aware, at the next the second Board of Works meeting of October, I won't be here, and Nicole, I think you're really tentative. So I think what we'll do is we'll work on putting together a new date for that Board of Works meeting. And obviously, once that's set, we'll let the public know about that. So I think we're going to just have to start comparing some schedules, honestly. So we'll do that. Youth Council's on Monday. And we're going to go visit Columbia Township Fire Department, I believe. So, Walt, Nicole, anything from the public? We have no press, so we will call the meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody.